I care not today what tomorrow will bring, if sorrow or sickness or shame. I know that the Lord ruleth over everything, and all of my worries in vain. I'm living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love. From all I'm saved in His sheltering heart, I'm living by faith and feel overlap. Oh, though tempests may blow and the storm clouds arise, obscuring the brightness of life, I'm never alarmed at the overcast skies. The Master looks on at my strife. Ooh, I'm living by faith in Jesus above, in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love. From all I'm safe in His sheltering arm. I'm living by faith and feel no alarm. One more verse. I know that He safely will carry me through, no matter what evil betides. Why should I then care? Tempest may blow if Jesus looks on my side. I'm living by faith in Jesus above, Jesus above, trusting, confide. I'm confiding, I'm trusting in His great love. From all I'm safe in His sheltering arm. I'm living by faith and feel no alarm.
God bless you, saints. Trust you all well. Trust your week has been good. Trust you prayed up and you spend time with the Lord. Amen. We'll just finish off this week. Pray for me as well, because it's not a comfortable place up here, you know. But the week has been quite a challenging week. You know, not saying that, trying to be humble or anything like that, but it was a challenging week. So just keep us in prayer. Maybe we'll say a word of prayer before we read the word. Most gracious Heavenly Father, once again, Lord, we do approach You, Father, with our hearts bowed unto Thee, Lord, looking unto You, the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, we've come, Lord, into Your house with expectation. Father God, we've come to hear from You. So, Lord, how even at this time, we just desire Your grace, Your mercies, Lord. Father, just entering into these doors, Lord, we feel it, that we're entering into a sacred place. Lord, a place, Lord, where You come and commune. A place, Lord, where Your presence is welcome. So, Lord, we want to ask You even now. Father, You blessed us, Lord, even in the song. Lord, that we're living by faith, Lord. Father, Lord, we walk that way as well. So, Lord, we pray that even now in this scripture that we read, Father, I ask of Thee that You'd be the one, Lord, to, through the scriptures that we read, You speak to Your people in a small way, Lord. Father, Lord, even in preparation, Lord, for song worship and for the service which will come after. Lord, we pray at this time for those that may be still on the way. Please undertake for them, grant them grace, grant them mercies. Father, Lord, those that may be online, speak to them as well, Lord. Be with them, Father. We pray, we commit this time to You. In Your precious, glorious name, Lord Jesus, amen and amen. Amen. We read our scripture that we read from last week, 1 Samuel 13. We'll read verse 8 to 12. And then, so, verse 8. And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offerings, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him, that he might salute him. And Samuel said, what hast thou done? And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Verse 12, please. Therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. It's we'll end it there. If you can put up for us Psalm 27, verse 14. reads, I'll just get it here. I'll say, okay. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Just to carry on what we were speaking of last week, while we wait, you know, and you know, sometimes when you reading God's word, and like to, it's one thing to read and meditate on your own, but coming before the saints, it's a different thing. So I pray that you be patient with me, because, you know, as I look here at you believers, I see overcomers, you know. So perhaps I'm not speaking to you today, but perhaps I'm encouraging myself. So if you just bear with me as we go along. But as we've seen there, sister, if you could put up for us 1 Samuel 13:11 again. But as we've seen there with and we spoke last week of Saul, you know, that there was he was to go up. The Philistines were gathered, and the scriptures before that, they spoke of the multitude of the Philistines. There were so many. You know, the word says they were numbered like the sand on the shore, and you can't number that. Just so many people. So the odds were against him, you know, and verse 12, sister, of that one, the odds were against the children of Israel, and Saul being their leader, he was in a fix, because as we look at it, Samuel had given him an appointed time. Samuel had told him that indeed he would come after 7 days. And the 7 days had lapsed. So soon after that, he, as the word of God says, the last part of chapter 12, he says, I forced myself therefore. You know, now him here with Saul, he was facing a great army, him being a great general in Israel, and it could seem foreign to us, but all of us in one way or the other, we face challenges. If we don't face challenges today, we're going to face challenges at some stage or at some point. And the principles of facing those challenges, they're the same. No matter what it is that we come across, no matter what it is that we face, the principles of it are the same. You know? So, like here, it's I know for myself, in reading over periods of time, I would have looked at Saul, and we know that Saul, he was numbered amongst the prophets. So he was appointed. He was rightly to be where he was. But when the time of testing came, he was found wanting. You know, when that time, because it's easy sometimes to look at it from when we stand off, because we're looking in hindsight. But for him, if you see, if you play that scenario inside of what was really happening at that time, that he felt that responsibility was on him, which it was. The people were afraid. They were scattered this way and that. And even him himself, the Bible says when he came from Gilgal, he was trembling. So he was shaking, you know. And we find that that's a common thing that happens in the time of testing. And sometimes it's especially when it's those challenges that when you look back at them, or when you see, sometimes you can see that, as Brother Womo spoke so well the other time, of there's potential for a masterpiece moment. You see, the Lord wants to manifest himself through a situation. But for that to come to pass is very much dependent on how we conduct ourselves. Like the pastor said, that I repeat what he said, we know these things, there's nothing new. Definitely you won't get anything new from me. But it's but grace is just from God. It's unmerited favor. You know, we were saved by grace. But our inheritance, that's dependent on our conduct. You see, that's dependent on our conduct. And we see, we can learn so much from Saul, that he was the right man because he was anointed to be the king. And he was the king. And there was potential for him to claim a very great inheritance, to go down in the annals of history amongst the children of God as a mighty man. Amen. But at that time of testing, Saul was found wanting. And like we say, these things here, perhaps him, it was war against the Philistines. For us, it can be different things. You know, people, depending on the level where you are, it's different things. Some people just need grace to get to the next day. Some people are so sick, they're facing cancer, death, certain death. You know, that's a different challenge that they face. But the principle of it is the same. And like we read there on Psalm 27, and verse 14 it was. Hallelujah. That Psalm 20, I'll just read it from here. It says, wait on the Lord and be of good courage. Amen. And he shall strengthen thine heart. So the Lord, he knows that sometimes we do face those circumstances and situations that fear will get a hold of you. You know, last week I was speaking about what happened to us when we were 4 years, no fault of our own. We sent our passports and then things went crazy like that. But so every year that went by, you needed to renew those passports. Now, when we say it like that, it's hard to get the image really of what really was going on, because within each year that passed by, there was life happening in between. You know, there was as a father of the house, you have your children that are there. They look into you. They can see you have your wife. There's pressure. You have friends all around. You have brethren around. And each year that's happening, that's going by, and there's nothing happening. No passport. It's if you will allow it, fear will take a hold of you and will paralyze you. But like the word says there, like it says, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. And it says, wait. I say, wait on the Lord. There's something so virtuous in that. Amen. You know? And one thing which we see with Saul, if you look inside of his life and reading from the word, you can see that he was not someone that his trust was in the Lord. No. Because when the time of testing came, he, like here, when, like what he said in verse 12 of that one, he said he's looking more at the people. That the people are afraid. They're fleeing. They're going this way and that. So because of the people, he forced himself. He forced himself to go against God's word. Because he God's word spoke that Samuel will make the sacrifice. Samuel. The Lord doesn't need to say more than that. You know, it's Samuel who will do it. But Saul, because of his experience or lack of it, instead of him looking at the promise, looking at the word of God, he looked at the faces of the people. He looked, what are people going to think about me? That's not his war. That's not his headache. All he needed to do was to be courageous and go back to the God who told him to wait upon Samuel. But he didn't do that. It's for purposes of, maybe we can read that. Because there's a difference with Samuel, with Saul, sorry, and David. If we read 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 18. It reads, the Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said unto David, go, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand. Amen. There's David, his face to the situation. Albeit we know there's no mention of it that Samuel had said come before. But you can see from that already that he was a prayerful man. And we see it even in the Psalms when we look back now. It say, early will I seek my Lord. You know, commit thy ways to the Lord. Well, and before going up to battle, he was a mighty man of valor. He was a man who had been trained, he had put, by his own hands, had slain, well, under the anointing of God, a bear, a lion. But yet he didn't trust in his own ability. Neither did he look at the enemies. He looked to God. Amen. You know, and that's one thing that Satan will always come to try to get us in the time of testing. Hallelujah. Whichever way it can be. Like I'm saying, we all face challenges. If you're not facing a challenge today, tomorrow you'll be facing it. Because the prophet told us that the life of a believer, if it's not one thing, it's something else. So you overcome one thing, you're going into another thing. But it does us well if we pay heed that our God is more than able in any circumstance or situation to deliver us from whatsoever challenge it would be. But it's dependent on what we do, because we can neutralize God's manifestation in our life by our conduct. You know, by our conduct. And these things here, saints, it's nothing new. Like I said, they are things that we know, but sometimes we leave those small little things, you know. And the backup of this, if you read the life of David, he was a prayerful man. You know, he didn't forsake the house of the Lord. He was one who he had fellowship. You know, he was, so those things, they help us in our time of trouble. You know, they help us in our time of trouble, because Satan, we know, he'd always come. One of the things he does is, like we said, he puts fear. But the Lord has given us something against that. He said, be courageous. Even if we, in Joshua, I think it's 1:8, somewhere there, he says, be courageous and very strong, because I've given you the land. But he says, don't depart from the law day or night. You know, meditate upon it. You know, he said, I've given you the land, but be very strong. So we know that courage is different to fear, to bravery. Because bravery is spontaneous. Some people are like that. They just have that in them. But courage is not, this fear is present. But you strengthen yourself, not on your own ability, but in God's word. That I'm standing on the promises of God. I'm not going to let this situation or circumstance to overtake me. And that's where God will meet you. We read about last week, there's so many meetings, I don't know, but someone was speaking about those Hebrew children. I know Brother Wilmore did, when he spoke about a masterpiece moment. But if you see those boys, like he said from the beginning, they set their mark from the start that we won't compromise. They would not compromise. So even when it came to the food, they wouldn't take anything that was tainted, because their faith and their trust was in the Lord, you know. And if you see them, if you read that, I think it's Daniel chapter 3 there. And you read and you see even those Hebrew boys, that if you can imagine that they wouldn't bow down to any god. They would not. And he made the fire 7 times even hotter. So that it's sometimes it's like that when we're facing these challenges, that it would seem like you're forsaken. It would seem like, because the devil, that's all he can do, is like a roaring lion. He's like, you know, he intensifies things and makes things look like it's impossible for you to get out of that situation. But it's not. It's not. The Lord is only lining you up for a masterpiece moment. But how you conduct yourself during that process or during that period of trial, like with them, they were not afraid. Surely, when I say that, let me say they were courageous. Because the king and Daniel were those Hebrew boys. It says, if I'm not mistaken, the scripture says they took mighty men. So he took mighty warriors. So there they are, just young boys. And there's these big, mighty soldiers binding them up in cords. And a furnace is raging up ahead of them. If there's that's not a difficult situation, I don't know what is. But they said, it doesn't matter. We will not serve any other God. They said, our God is more than able to deliver us. But even if he doesn't, we will not bow to any other God. And because of their obedience, because they waited on the Lord, their trust wasn't in man. The Lord met them in the fire. That even the king himself, who ordered that that furnace should be heated up, the word says he hastily went up and he looked and he seen there was a fourth man in the fire. So sometimes the Lord, he allows us even to go up to that situation, you know. But so we see here with David, getting back to the scripture we're reading, he says, the Lord said, doubtless I will deliver you. If you can put the next scripture, please. And David came to Baal-perazim, and David smote them there and said, the Lord hath broken forth upon my enemies before me as the breach of waters. Yeah. Therefore he called the name of the place Baal-perazim. Verse 21. And there they left their images, and David and his men burnt them. So they had a victory. If we can put 22, please, sister. And the Philistines came up yet again. So they came back again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, so thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. Verse 24. And let it be, when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself, and then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. So we see there David, his approach. He had defeated the Philistines, and they came back again. He didn't go on his last victory and just say, right, men, let's go up again and take up this. He went back again to the Lord. And he said, shall, and see, the Lord changed the tactic for against the same enemy, but the Lord gave him a different tactic. So we see from those things that you can see so much the contrast between Saul and David. And David looked to God. He held on to the word of the Lord. His trust wasn't in himself. He and his men had wrought mighty battles, mighty victories they had, but his trust wasn't in that. In each situation, in each such circumstance, he went back to the Lord. And that does do us good. Just as we'd close it up, maybe if we turn to Hebrews 12, please, sister. We'll read from verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3, please. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. So, what a word of promise that we have our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the great overcomer, the great conqueror, you know, that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He didn't look at what he had to face. He looked at the end, you know, because there was a great reward, a great inheritance. There was a great purchase that was resting upon him, you know. So it's such an example. I really like the amplified version of it, if I can just read that before we close. It's Hebrews 12, verse 1, and I'll read to 3. It says, therefore then, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, then in brackets, who have borne testimony of the truth, let us strip off and throw aside every encumbrance. So it's every unnecessary weight. And that sin which so readily, deftly and cleverly clings to and entangles us. And let us run with patience, endurance, steady and active persistence, the appointed course of the race that is set before us. Looking away, and in brackets, from all that will distract you. So we look away to Jesus, giving the to Jesus, who is the leader and the source of our faith, giving the first incentive of our belief, and is also its finisher, bringing it to a maturity and perfection. He, for the joy of obtaining the prize that was set before him, endured the cross, despising and ignoring the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of God. Amen. Just think of him who endured from sinners such grievous opposition and bitter hostility against himself. Reckon up and consider it in comparison with your trials, so that you may not grow weary or exhausted, losing heart and relaxing and fainting in your minds. So what a great reward that the Lord has purchased for us. And I think that we all agree that Jesus, our Lord, is the best example of a mighty conqueror. That whatever came at him, he looked to the will of God. So may the Lord help us as we face the different challenges. But if we remember the source from where our help comes from, you know, because there's always many voices, there's always things that our eyes see, there's situations that look impossible, but yet we know we have a God who, he says, there's nothing impossible. What shall be impossible before God? So God bless you, saints. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you and thank you for your grace, for your mercies, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the promises of your word, which encourage us, Lord, which, Father, give us hope when otherwise there seemed to be no hope, Lord. Father, now as we go to the next stage of the service, we ask for your grace. Lord, we want to worship you. So, Lord, we ask for a spirit of liberty, Lord. Father, we ask that you break the shackles, Lord. Some of your children may be carrying a heavy load. But, Lord God, you said, come unto me, all ye that labor. So we pray that even in song worship, Lord, let it be a prayer unto thee. We pray you anoint the song leader, the musicians likewise, Lord. Father, let them lead your saints, Lord, to usher in an utterance, Lord, for the main service, Lord, which we are in expectation to hear from thee once again. Be merciful, Lord, undertake for all that will be said and done. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.